time's going to stand still because the clock isn't moving. Back in 1987, I was a pizza delivery driver for Domino's. Really interesting experience. It's changed a lot since then. However, at that point in time, as a driver, one of the things that you always had an opportunity to do, usually on a busy night, was you got to choose, hopefully, which pizza you get to deliver from which address. And to maximize the amount of money you could make in tips, what you wanted to do was you learn the neighborhoods that were probably more affluent and the ones that were closest to you in terms of where the store was. So after a while, after I started driving for Domino's and doing all this work, I began to learn this process, and I get to choose the pizzas and where I get to deliver them. And a lot of times you could stack two or three deliveries together and really maximize your tips. One day, I look up and I go, oh, this is a new neighborhood. Three pizzas in a new neighborhood. I got them. And you just grab them. Make that quick decision. Throw them in the little bag that keeps them warm. Off I go. Well, something else that didn't exist back then was this thing called GPS. Nobody had GPSs back then. Had this big old thick book that had addresses in it. What do you think maps, how often do you think maps are printed? Once a year, once every couple years? Of course, maps, most people don't buy them now. I had these three pizzas in a neighborhood that wasn't on a map. So I drive around. I know it's somewhere around here. I drive and I drive and I drive and drive down all the streets. And by the way, Domino's had a 30-minute delivery promise, or it was free. So I drive, can't find any of these houses. The map's no good. 2 hours later, I have finally delivered the three pizzas because I finally figured out where this place was, these three houses were. Needless to say, all three of those people got a free pizza, and I'm sure they were thrilled to get this pizza and open it up going, there's ice cubes on it, it's cold. So I just go up to the door of each of these, and I say, I'm sorry, it's late, here's your free pizza. And of course, when it's late and it's cold, do you think I get a tip? No way. Made a bad decision because I didn't really think about how to get to these places. Look around, each of you. You made a right choice today. You were given a choice today. You could stay at home. You could go walk the dog. I'm not sure you could play golf today, although sometimes I drive by the golf course Sunday morning and there's people out there. You can make it, you have all kinds of choices every day. You got a choice today to either come here or do something else. You made the right decision. Quote by John C. Maxwell says, "You will never change your life until you change something you do daily. The secret of success is found in your daily routine." Choices and decisions. We all have them. We make them every day. What I do in the future depends on what I am, and what I am is a result of the previous years of discipline. Successful people make the right decisions early and manage those decisions daily. Real sustainable change does not happen in a moment. It's really a process. First point, we are the product of the decisions we make in our life, every day. Think about Moses. In Hebrews 11 and verse 5, Moses was faithful as a servant in all of God's house, bearing witness to what would be spoken by God in the future. And then in Hebrews 11 and verse 24, by faith Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated with the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ of the greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who was invisible. And by faith he kept the Passover and the application of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. And by faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as upon dry land. But when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. Moses started out alive, and he stuck to it. He made the right decision. He had choices to make, though. Think about Joshua. Joshua 24. Now the fear of the Lord is to serve Him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your ancestors worshiped beyond the Euphrates rivers and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord it seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you are living. But Joshua says, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. He's made the right decision. Think of Joseph, sold by his brothers, ends up in Potiphar's house, gets framed, goes to prison, interprets a dream for Pharaoh, becomes the second in command. He was making the right decisions, but all along he had different choices to make. Think about Paul, the situation that he's in. He had the zeal for God. But I want to point out that his zeal was misfocused, and he realized that. He had a choice to make. He's on the road to Damascus, and Jesus appears to him. He could have said, I don't believe it. But he didn't. He was faced with a choice to believe or not. He shifted his whole life and he changed it. In each of these examples, they are simply products of the decisions that they've made. And good ones. One's philosophy is expressed in the choices one makes. The process never ends until we die. The decisions that we make also push us. They push us down paths, good, bad, different directions. Abby had a science project when she was in middle school. And we started this project out thinking this is going to be easy. If you've ever done a science project, maybe you pick the easy path. We were certainly trying to do that. How can we get to the end? And we thought this is a great idea, this idea that we came up with. We're going to document the decomposition of certain items. And at first we thought, this is a piece of cake. We'll just take these items. We took an aluminum can. We took a banana peel. We took a metal can. We took an apple. And we set it outside and watched it decompose over time. And we started this way before the science project was due. We started in the summer, in the spring. And we took pictures and we documented it. And at first it thought, this is easy. We just put it out there. Take a picture, log it down. It turned into being a much more lengthy process. But we took a path that we didn't necessarily know was going to add to more and more work. But the choice that was made in that decision, it pushed us to get to the end. We wanted to get to the end of this. Think about somebody who made the wrong choice, but he kept going. Saul was told not to take anybody, anything in his attack. In 1 Samuel 15, he decides he's going to take King Agag and all the good stuff and all the gold and all the top stuff. He didn't do what God told him. He made a bad choice. This was the start of Saul thinking, I should do it this way. And if you think about Saul's situation here, he started from a humble beginning, but he ended up here. He ended up in this spot to make the decision that he did. And as a result, in verse 28, Samuel tells him, Saul's no more. He's going to find king. He's going to find a new king. He's going to find King David. Saul just went downhill from there, taking the wrong path. But we think about a contrast to this is Daniel. In Daniel 6 and verse 10, just to set the stage for Daniel for a minute, Daniel is praying to God daily three times, but they want to put a stop to this. The king has been tricked into signing a decree that says, you can only acknowledge me. And he's entrapped. These people have entrapped him. The council has entrapped the king and sort of deceived him into saying, you know, you are the one. Why would Daniel do this? But what did Daniel do in verse number 10? He simply goes, he knows this is happening. He goes and he prays again. He is making the right choice. And he's going down the path. He's pushing himself to take the right path continuing to make the right decision. Think about Paul. Paul makes his argument about his situation to two very senior government officials. Felix, who's the governor. King Agrippa. He's making the argument of why he's doing what he's doing. King Agrippa says, "Almost you persuade me." Paul's pushing himself. The choices we make are cumulative, and the actions we take influence the next choice that we make. Point number three, wrong decisions can be made right or they can be made worse. Somebody who may come to mind is Judas. Judas goes, travels with Christ. He's one of the 12. But he takes 30 pieces of silver in exchange for where Christ is. And he makes a horrible choice, which, if you look in Acts, appears to commit suicide. He changed his mind, but he doesn't want the money. He made a very bad decision. However, let's switch to David and Bathsheba. David sets up. He sees Bathsheba. He's tempted. But he's got a problem. He's got to get rid of Uriah. So he contemplates a plan to get rid of Uriah. He gets rid of Uriah by basically pulling the forces back, putting him on the front line and saying, "Yep, somebody else will kill him for me." He's planned all this out. Now he has Bathsheba. He has a child. But what happens to the child? Child dies. What else happens? Nathan talks to him and says, I'm going to give you this analogy. He doesn't tell him that. Talks about the sheep, the ewe lamb that's taken. David is angry, but then he recognizes he is that person. He loses a child. But David turns. He realizes his bad decision. He makes a new choice. Think about Peter. I'm not going to deny Christ. Sure he did. He was in a situation where had he said, "Yeah, I know who Christ is," he could be in the same situation Christ is going to be in. So he denies him. But where does Peter end up? In Acts 1, he ends up being one of the main characters who leads the message that Christ wants him to do. He leads in that message. He proclaims Christ. In Acts 2, he proclaims him. He wanted to make it right. The gospel is the forgiveness of the past, the peace of the present, and a hope for the future. final point this morning comes to this. It takes persistence to be righteous or unrighteous. If you think about Paul's writing to the Romans here, I'm going to read this, verses 28 through 32 in Romans 1. Furthermore, just as they did not think it was worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, so God gave them over to a depraved mind, so that they do not ought what should be done. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil, and they disobey their parents. They have no understanding, no fidelity, no love, no mercy. Although they knew God, His righteousness decree that those who do such thing really deserve death. They not only continue to do these very things, but they also approve of those who practice them. Their persistence, their choice and decision is the absolute opposite direction from God. But we think about Paul. In Philippians 3, verses 10 through 12, now I've already obtained this, or I've already been perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me His own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. Press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward calling of God in Jesus Christ. And then in Philippians 4, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or of want. And I can do all this through Him who gives me strength. A lot of choices that we are faced with and the ultimate decisions that we make, they play into our lives. They extend. They have consequences, either positive or negative. God does not require the impossible, maybe seemingly impossible, but we can do so with faith and strengthen Him. Our lives are not judged by a momentary heights of worldly greatness, but rather our daily commitment to making godly decisions. Proverbs 16:1-3 says, "To humans belong the plan of the heart, but from the Lord comes the proper answer of the tongue. All a person's way seems pure to them, but motives are weighted by the Lord. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and He will establish your plan." Everybody has a choice today to serve God or not. And it's the decision that you make is what's critical. God's hoping you will make the right decision. Believe in Him. A repentance of sin. Baptism. The confession. Confession of Jesus. These are decisions you can make. But what if you don't make that choice? You've still made a decision. I hope you make the right decision today. If you need the assistance of God, if you need to make your heart right with God, if you need to become a Christian, go into that watery grave. Take on God and His responsibilities. I encourage you to make the right decision as we stand and sing.